and welcome to Addressing Alaskans, a program capturing community conversations in South Central Alaska. Join us each week on KSKA Anchorage and travel to different spots throughout our community to listen to local groups gathered to discuss what matters to Alaskans. This week, three presentations from the International Council of 13 Indigenous Grandmothers. The 9th annual gathering was held in Anchorage this year at the Dena'ina Civic and Convention Center on May 18th through May 20th. The event kicked off on Wednesday with a welcome from local Native leader Larry McCluliff and Yupik grandmother and healer Rita Blumenstein, one of the 13 grandmothers honored at this year's event.
In my language, the Aleut language, that means the afternoon tastes good, and you are supposed to respond, Istakun. No, that's too early. Kamagala kamna kamala kasuda. That's the Aleut version of right on. Well, welcome, everybody. I am glad that you are here. It's a great honor to have all of you here to be in support of the grandmothers and to be here to listen to the wisdom that they have to offer. This is a very prophetic time. It is a time when women must lead the way, and it begins with the white hairs, as we say. So you are in for quite a festival of love. That's what we're going to have. Okay, now it is my honor and my privilege to introduce the grandmother that is being honored by the presence of all of these wonderful, beautiful, light, and wise grandmothers. And that's Rita Blumenstein. Many of you know her already, so I almost don't have to introduce her. But she has been my elder for a long time. And I tell you, whatever she says, I do. I have to. I learned that. And I've always been blessed by that. And she has, of course, was the first traditional tribal doctor at the Alaska Native Medical Center. She has mentored lots of people. She has traveled all over the world, just like many of the other grandmothers have, sharing their traditional ways and their wisdom, which is part of an ancient prophecy that when the spiritual leaders and the elders come together to begin to share, they are going to complete the hoop of the original instructions which we were all given in the four directions before the beginning of time. And now is a time that this hoop is being completed. So please give a warm welcome to my elder, your elder, Rita Blumenstein.
Good afternoon. Chamai. I want to welcome the ones that first time come to Alaska, stepping on our land, which we cherish, live in it, eat off of it, and we are gathering here to learn to respect our land. I'm from Alaska. I am Yupik. I'm the seventh generation of the healers of women. And I'm here to help every one of you to become yourself. Find who you are and teach the world. teach the world. I am very grateful. Never in my life I will do this to many people from all over the world. I'm honored to speak for my ancestors, my teachers, and want to bring it to our generation, young people. When I was growing up, I didn't have anything, just few things to play with, but many things to do. And today, there's too many games, and I can't keep up with them. Too many. You don't have to work so much. You just push the button, and you can travel across the world, around the world. When I was a little girl, that's the way the place we called Kazugi, when the elders tell stories, you can hear a pin. Like that. And they talk for a couple hours. And for 1 year, one story, till it becomes part of you. You don't have to write it down. You remember it. Because you heard it many, many times. That's why we don't write notes. We remember them. That was the practice I had when I was growing up. So, I am not from Anchorage. I'm a Yupik from Nelson Island. I don't see any map here, but I'm from the West Coast. I grew up on the island, and I thought my home was the only world. And I watched the boats, ships going, and all of a sudden they disappear. I didn't know, I thought it was flat world. It was round. When I told my grandmother about that, she said, remember, your head is round, you're round. Our world is round, Earth is round, and the moon is round, the sun is round. Everything is round. And it's not taller or shorter. I thank the Athabascan land for allowing me to do this in their land. And I thank you for denying our people. And I love it. Love it. See, sharing is our culture. Sharing. That's our culture. And then when we share, they share back. When they share, we share. So when you go home, go back to your countries, your homelands, your home where you're living, share. 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 My grandmother told me when I was a little girl, she said, treat everybody like you would like to be treated. And I hope I do. Sometimes I'm mad at myself, and then I get mad at everybody. Yeah, I do. Every one of us do that, I think. So let's learn to love ourselves and share it. We're all made for something. All of us. I thank Anchorage for allowing us to have the park strip for our 24-hour fire. That's the power of the four elements. The power is fire. It can be destructive. It can be love, warmth, comfort. All of the elements of the universe mean something. The East, the beginning, the South, the connection, water, the mineral, our first medicine, and the North, the fire, and the color is yellow, red, black, and white. And it's each of them are opposite of each other. So we learn from that. Now we're teaching you to back. Because it's the opposite of the directions. See this, and the East sends to the West, and the West brings it back. So the cardinals of the universe, very important. So they send each other. I feel as Rita Pitkov Blumenstein, my Yupik name, beginning of the old ways, the end of the old ways, Bumyuan, tail end. And my second name is Chanihak, clearing the way. And my name is Dangach, means a little light. I'm not a big light, so. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Doich. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much, everybody.
This is KSKA Anchorage, and you're listening to Addressing Alaskans with Yupik Grandmother and Healer Rita Blumenstein, one of the 13 grandmothers honored at this year's International Council of 13 Indigenous Grandmothers Conference. On May 18th, Rita welcomed grandmothers from around the world to the 9th annual gathering, and she lit the sacred fire, which continued to burn for 24 hours a day for 7 days on the Delaney Park Strip. We have video of Rita lighting the fire on our new website, alaskapublic.org. The following day, on Thursday, May 19th, Rosemary Atunguruk gave a presentation on who we are from the past to the present. Host Larry Merkuliev provided her introduction.
Okay, well, it's my honor and my privilege to introduce our speaker for today, Rosemary Atunguruk, if she could make her way up while I introduce her. You know, many of you may not know, but she's Inupiat and she lives in Barrow. She works a lot with tribal council. She's working with the Alaska Intertribal Council, and she was a former mayor. And also, she has been, many of you may have seen who are from Alaska, an absolutely fierce protector of the health of our communities up north who have been exposed to the fumes that come from oil and gas production that was near her village. And they suffered a great deal of upper respiratory infections and diseases. And so she has been speaking everywhere about those issues, trying to help other communities who may be similarly affected. Please give her a warm welcome.
I want to thank everyone who helped to bring this gathering together. It is so very important. It is touching our hearts, our spirits, our beings, and there is blessings that are occurring everywhere in this process. I want to thank the elders who have guided me to be involved in this process. Their efforts to communicate with me, share their stories, and to bring me forward into these processes are very, very well felt in my heart. I need to thank my family, my mom, Mabel Ningyuk Peterson, my dad, Yul and Don Pierce, my stepfather, Carl Peterson. My family has learned that it's best to go ahead and go on instead of waiting for me to get done. So if I get too winded, don't hesitate. This is our beautiful state of Alaska. These are the many cultures that we have in our state. Alaska Wilderness League helped to bring me down here. I want to thank them for assisting me with travel and working on ways to share concerns to affect decisions that are affecting us. Our lands have been a part of us for generations. We have stories of time in our cultures, and each is unique with some sharing. We have many tribes and cultures throughout the lands and waters. Our people have lived with the lands and waters, sustaining us with the nourishment and so much more. Our cultures have continued from time immemorial through statehood, land claims, natural interests, Lands Act, and resource extractions. The changes with statehood opened the lands to others. Before ANCSA, the Alaska Natives owned all of Alaska, and that was changed to 10%. But the ownership of the lands did not go to the existing tribal governments. They went to state-chartered corporations. Federal officials saw the problems with the land settlements of the lower 48 Natives taking federal lands to tribal ownership. For moving the right-of-way process for the Trans-Alaska Pipeline would take too long and probably fail. Instead, the process was to give Natives allotments of land, and the negotiations or not for these lands were now individualized, not tribally owned. Native corporations were created to give shares to Natives, and profitability changed the view. Gradually, the view also brought some changes to their values. The relationship with the land for sustenance was now at crossroads with dollars. This is how our regions have developed in our state. These are the corporations and the lands that they have. This mapping followed the ANCSA's profit mapping. The Arctic Slope Native Association from our area as a nonprofit organization was led by Joseph Upexon, and we fought in opposition to this process. We could see we would be giving up all that we knew in the guise of profit for others to take elsewhere. We were up against the other tribes in our state over this issue, and many did not understand what it was asking of us, as well as many did not get a choice in the matter. Voting rights at that time needed support of 5 non-natives. They were held in urban centers in languages that were not native, and many were never allowed informed decision making. I'm in Barrow, right up at the top of the Arctic coast. I lived for 25 years in the small village that's not on this map to the right of Prudhoe Bay. With the Ingsaw process, our region in the North Slope changed rapidly. We knew about the oil. It was a good light source. We could not carry enough with us as we traveled with the seasons and the animals. This was told by Sarah Kunuknana. Wesley Aiken said, we would soak sod in the oil and use it to burn. We remember when they came for the oil. They had planes at first. We would see these loud moving things in the air. A hunter saw a face looking out. We did not know what to make of it. They did not come to ask us of it. They did not come to ask us what would be the best way to go into the areas. They did not ask how we use the areas. We could see the trash left behind from their activities. Metal debris showed for generations. We now have contaminants that affect our food. Some were from military activities, and some were from resource extraction activities. One of the men in Nooksit told me his job was to cut open the barrels of substances and pour it on the ground and throw it in the barrel crusher. He did not know what it was. He made just a few dollars for his efforts, but many did not see the dollars back then, so they thought it was good. Supplies that we don't have looked good. I worked as a community health aide in our village for 14 years. I went to the University of Washington to expand my education as a physician assistant. I brought this education back to my village. My first day of work as a community health aide, I was asked to count the people in my village. I knew we had 323 people back then. I started to count other things, such as how many people had chronic illnesses, how many had diabetes, how many needed to use medications to help them breathe. When I started in 1986, there was only one. I left for the university in 1989, and there were 20. I graduated in 91, and there were 35. I took a break in 97, and there were 60. When I stopped working in our clinic in 2000, there were 75 people. I asked questions, I read reports, I attended meetings. I was concerned about the health of our people. Additional changes occurred on the lands and waters around us. Additional problems occurred where we now have trouble hunting the animals near our village. We also had problems with catching fish, the Arctic cisco. We asked questions. Seismic activity changed the way the animals use the lands and waters near us. When whaling was affected, we had poor caribou hunting, poor fishing, and no jobs. We saw the changes of the social ills rise. Alcohol, drugs, domestic violence, suicide attempts, and successes. Oil and gas production is occurring on the North Slope. Do not be fooled by industries saying it is just a small footprint. As I work with these issues, it is very important to stay healthy. We have to continue our nutritious foods, our culture, and our traditions. We have to work within our bodies to heal and keep us strong. We have the future generations looking up to us, so showing good ways helps to instill this to the next. By working with the good ways, we have to keep ourselves good and help to heal us within. We have to be involved in ways to work with those who are making decisions on our behalf. These decisions affect us and our future generations. We breathe the air, we eat from the lands and waters. We have generations of usage and will have generations continue to use our lands and waters after us. We have to decide how we want to interact with the changes before us. We have to work to keep our bodies healthy as we work on them. Some of these changes will affect our future and the health of us, our traditions, and our culture. We can work to protect us and our importance. We have to fast, sweat, and pray for guidance to keep our bodies healthy and to learn to work with the issues we face. We take the time to appreciate the good we are doing by taking the healing moments of being out on the land with the animals and our families, sharing and caring. We bring these moments of peace to our being to help us center ourselves before going into work. We have changes that are causing us to change our relations with the lands in these areas. We can get mad, but it drains us to be mad, and it doesn't help much. We can learn ways to communicate what is important to us. Bring the stories of our generations of usage of the land, seas, and air around the projects to the meetings. We can bring the education to the schools to help teach our children our traditions, culture, and we can help with our education. Taking the healing with these processes builds our inner light for our future. We have special areas important to us all in all of our cultures. We have stories of hunting and teach with them. Learning these stories help our inner light as a healing as well. The bounty of our labors hang throughout our lands. We work hard to prepare for our seasons and the future, sharing, building, binding our families. The healing of our soul is renewed with these efforts. We cannot take the effort to harvest out of our being, but some are learning to use energy toward other ways to meet the biological needs. When we don't, it takes a lot of our being out of our efforts to work. We share our efforts with the young and the old to bring the gifts of the harvest to our families and our tribes. We teach our young ones our foods, our ways, and our stories. We give our young ones the first taste of our foods and our ways that we prepare them. We build our lights within to blaze white hot when our stories are brought to the issues we face, as our elders shared from time beginning. We have many projects for land use changes in our state with efforts to reap the bounty of resources for profit, turning the blind eye to the bounty of our tribes. We are facing issues we have little control over, but we can let it beat us down or we can work with the progress, bringing us to the table. We have ways to work that will help us with the pains of these changes. We can look for ways to help our people deciding what our goals are for our youth, our elders, and our special peoples. We can look at what we need to protect and what we need to work with. We can decide this amongst ourselves before others come with change. This map is very busy. There's a lot of work that they would like to do in our areas. The colored red boxes are for lands and waters that have been sold for oil and gas development. Some of these have changed over the years. All the major oil and gas leases in the Arctic, including onshore and offshore, deep water ports and shore bases in places such as Point Lake, Evelina, Wainwright, liquid natural gas facilities, oil and gas tanker routes, offshore platforms and pipelines. We have much change proposed in the Arctic, and changes will be good and bad. We have to work together on these issues, as we will have changes to the migrating animals that come to us from continents all over the world. We watched the devastation of the Gulf last summer, and they have many areas that are facing the immediate change to their lives. Some are affected from living there, working there, and their livelihood. We have to reach out, as we appreciate it did not happen here. We can bring ways to share and care to them to help them renew as they are going to change. Others made plans to take the resources and put words on paper that are not real. We can take our traditional knowledge into the process before us, sharing to help with decisions. We have much cost to us. We have our traditional and cultural uses, and we have the key for our future. Our values are important and important to bring out. We nurture the young to carry on the traditions and promote this to keep us healthy. Losing this has caused much social change, and learning the issues and working to address them brings us healing. We love our animals, and there are many. Here are just a few. They each have stories and each teach us values. We heal our spirit as we share our traditions and cultures. We can learn and research our issues. We can help us to understand. We bring our concerns to the table and stay at the table for our peoples. The past is a part of us, and it is part of our future. This is the area that was damaged from the Exxon Valdez burial. We have much about our past that causes us pain. We have to learn from them and keep these learning growing to prevent their recurrence. We help to heal us with working for the good. We renew our inner light. We work to help our peoples and our lands, but we must learn our protections to keep us healthy and our families healthy. We have to learn new technologies and new tools. We have to grow to meet our changes. We need to be informed so we can discuss the issues and make informed decisions. As a health aide, I worked in our village and the doctors who were far away from us. I was told many things that could keep me from climbing to succeed. The inner light from me and my family, my village, and my elders kept me involved. The shining was many times blurred by changes I could not control. I always had elders who came to me to help me with words, guidance, or hugs. When I realized this, I changed, taking time to counsel with my elders and family. I share my concerns with my children. I work to build my voice and continue to go back to my elders for the inner strength. These are some of the drilling rigs that were proposed to come to the Arctic, and we are very concerned. Others said it could be a clean operation, and yet spills grow. This was the gunshot to the pipeline. It took 36 hours to close it. We believe there's a just transition. It's a way of getting clean energy into our areas, using ways that'll help us to protect us. These are some people that have traveled to Washington, D.C., working on issues to protect us in Alaska. We have one world. It's on fire. It's up to us to work to change the future. Our children are going to hold the world for us. We can race ahead headlong into activities, or we can stop and take some time out. Do we really want to let them drill in our ocean? A beautiful picture of the sun at its closest point to the North Pole. I work with Resisting Environmental Destruction on Indigenous Lands. This is the contact information. My friend Faith helped me with this presentation. We've done a number of visits. And I want to thank everyone for taking time to listen to us.
This is KSKA Anchorage, and you're listening to Addressing Alaskans with Rosemary Atunguruk, community health practitioner and physician assistant in a small village just 60 miles outside of Prudhoe Bay. Her talk entitled Who We Are from the Past to the Present was recorded at the International Council of 13 Indigenous Grandmothers on May 19th. In the last portion of today's program, we bring you local Native leader Larry Merkuliev's presentation recorded on Friday, May 20th.
Tana Awa, Angwan, Ting Unanginwe, Unangina Sukhta, Kuyach, Amakancha Sukhta, Larry Merkuliev, Tinkawalangan Unanginwe, Angwan. In my language, the Aleut language, my people have been here for 10,000 years. We are still there. But we say since time immemorial. I said Tana Awa, which means work of the land. Before anyone speaks in my country, we say that. And it means work of the land. And when we say that, we acknowledge the land from which we were birthed, from which our language comes. We honor our ancestors and our people in saying Tana Awa. And it's a song from our hearts to the spirit that lives in all things. So I am here only as a messenger. I said my traditional name is Kuyach. It is given to one person in each lifetime amongst my people. It means like an arm extending out from the body. A carrier of ancient knowledge into modern times. It was given to me when I was 4 years old by the last Kuyach. It is a tradition that began when the great masculine imbalance began some 4,000 to 6,000 years ago. The world's spiritual leaders communicating by the language of spirit, the original language of one, knew that this time was coming. And so they deliberated where to hide these sacred teachings, because these sacred teachings comes from the womb in the center of the universe. It is the sacred feminine. And the way that, one of the ways that they decided to hide it was brilliant. They decided that the original instructions, which were given to all four sacred colors and all four sacred directions, that each part of the world was going to forget a piece of the sacred teachings. But no part would forget the same thing. And the world's spiritual leaders did not practice that peace in their part of the world for at least two generations. Did not speak of it, did not mention it at all, so that in two generations this knowledge and understanding of that piece of sacred teaching would be lost. Knowing that there will come a time people will open up their hearts enough to connect with each other, unafraid, to share their piece of the sacred teachings so that it would become whole again. These original instructions were identical around the world before the beginning of time. And only different by the way each culture would practice their own particular way to adjust for the harmony and the energy of the land from which they come. Part of the sacred teachings is born in the language. The language of that land. My language, Unangan Tunu, is birthed from the land from which our people came. It carries a vibration. The vibration is then reflected in the sounds that we have created in order to create the language. I had a traditional upbringing. I was very privileged to do that. And by the time I was 6 years old, I learned from the birds how not to think a single thought in my head. I could go for hours without a single thought. And when I did that, as all the elders understood, I slipped out of time. It is said that we created time. When the elders speak about the beginning of time, it began when we had guilt, shame, remorse, anger, rage, jealousy. And that is all in the past. In the future comes from fear. Fear projecting something into the future that doesn't even exist. So we either become in the past or in the future, but not the place of the real human being, which is in the center of all time, which is the present moment in this very instant. And it is said that when we slipped out of the infinite moment, the sacred moment, we disconnected from all that was sacred. And today, our societies around the world are schooled and indoctrinated to do nothing but think, have thoughts in their head all the time. Very few understand how not to have a single thought, even for a minute. And when we slipped out of that sacred moment and disconnected from who we are as real human beings, a pendulum began to swing back and forth since the beginning of time, from masculine imbalance to feminine imbalance, back to masculine imbalance, and it has gone that way since the beginning of time. And now we are in a period of great masculine imbalance that began somewhere between 4,000 to 6,000 years ago. The elders and the prophecies say that this pendulum has the opportunity to stop in the center for the first time since the beginning of time. But the pathway to that is not going to be easy. It's going to be very difficult. Because many people, with the intensification of the energies that come from Mother Earth, Grandfather Sun, and from the center of the universe, are going to shake things up, and it's already begun. And this great shaking will put many people into fear. And when we are in fear, we are feeding the very thing that we are afraid of. The elders say, nothing is created outside until it's created inside first. We are in conflict outside because we are in conflict inside. We are angry at someone on the outside because we're angry at ourselves. We judge others and criticize others because we're criticizing ourselves first. And we're separate and separated on the outside because we're separated on the inside. Nothing is created outside until it's created inside first. Now I'm going to talk about the sacred feminine. It's an honor and a privilege and a great responsibility to be able to talk about this as a man. But in 1999, there was a sky language sign here in Anchorage. It was called the Sun Dog. Around the sun was a ring of rainbow. On each end of the sun, on each side, were bright white lights. And on top of the rainbow was an upside-down rainbow. That was a sky language sign that the time is now to talk about the sacred and what used to be the secret teachings. We have forgotten why and to understand what does it mean, the sacred feminine, men and women alike. The prophecies say that during this time of great healing, there will also be darkness that rises equal to the light for a period of time. And women during this time will be restored to their place as the original healers. I come from a culture where the women would initiate the men as shamans. We work with a moon calendar. We are connected to the Bering Sea, which is a consciousness of the sacred feminine. And many times they use that as a metaphor of going into the depths emotionally. So our ways were developed in alignment with the sacred feminine. The scientists and the anthropologists wonder how it is that first peoples around the world could gain the kind of spiritual technology that we had, the ability to create craft that is one with the water, how to conduct ceremonies when we are taking anything from Mother Earth and the original instructions of the reciprocity where we give back. Very few people understand what it really means. And this way of understanding, I grew up with, so that by the time I was six, I could feel the energy of the water. I could feel the animals. I could talk and communicate with the ocean. This is not a romanticized thing. It really is. I would wake up in the morning in the wintertime, and I would hear the seagulls talking. And they would tell me what kind of day it is, whether or not there's snow on the ground, whether or not there's wind and clouds. I could navigate in the Bering Sea without any navigation instrument, even in the pea soup thick fog, because I could feel the energy and the vibration of the water by the time I was 11. This, and I grew up with men who taught me about what it means to be a man, a hunter, a fisherman, providing for the community, where they were gentle, soft-spoken, did not speak very much, non-aggressive, patient, in relationship. These are what are characterized as the feminine qualities. The best hunters had them, because it's all about relationship. Women understand relationship. When you listen to women talk today, they're talking about family members, loved ones, friends, anything about relationship. And sadly, because we are in the great period of masculine imbalance, the men would be talking about the stock market, the football game, the economy, the wars, but not about relationship. The results of this masculine imbalance is top-down, control-centered, fear-based, and converts everything that is sacred in life into numbers. Or we would take names of the living things and call them natural resources. We would take the sacredness out of all that is sacred, and that's what we continue to do today. They have forgotten a very important point: why women are sacred. I learned this first when I was 16 years old, and I went to the oldest man in the village, or he's the oldest person in the village, actually, because his grandfather was the last shaman in our village. I was lamenting about the fact that we had lost our ability to create these powerful ceremonial masks, the Aleut masks that were used in ceremony, because no one was making them anymore. And he said, "No, it's not lost. It's never been lost. If you want to recover it, you go down to the ocean shoreline. You clear your mind. You center your being. You set your intention. And you trust that the answer will come." I knew what he meant by the time I was 16, because when he said, "Get out of your head," I could do that, get into a place of no thought, and centering myself. And the intention that he was talking about is not a mental thing. It's not an intellectual thing. It's intention born in every cell of our bodies. Every cell of our bodies sets the intention. If I truly want to know, I need to be intentioned within every cell of my body. This is what I want to know. So I sat out there for several hours, and soon a black dot appears in my mind's eye, and then it enlarged, and out of it came at least 100 masks, all different. I went back to, and I'm not an artist, I went back to the elder and I told him what I experienced. And the elder says, yes, you have gone to the womb in the center of the universe. That is where all of our traditional peoples have received their spiritual technology. It has come from that place. And we have forgotten the fact that that sacred womb and the sacred vibrations of it is identical inside of the human being woman, inside the womb of every woman is a sacred field of energy from which all things are birthed. And we struggle to find our way back, and we are creating problems with our solutions in the world, trying to find ways to minimize the damage we are doing to Mother Earth. But it is a disconnected consciousness in an energy field, a masculine imbalance, so that no matter what is created, no matter what is created, the most brilliant thought in the world about how to help Mother Earth will not work, will not work, unless and until the women come back into their center of sacred power. And the women have the ability, when in ceremony, as we have been watching with our grandmothers in the sacred fire, what they have been doing is building a womb psychically and energetically on the outside. Nothing new can be birthed in this world without that womb being created by women in their power in sacred ceremony.
This is KESKA Anchorage, and you've been listening to recordings from the International Council of 13 Indigenous Grandmothers. The theme of this year's conference was Healing the Spirit from the Light Within, honoring Yupik grandmother and healer Rita Blumenstein. You heard from Rita in the first part of today's program, followed by community health practitioner near the North Slope, Rosemary Atunguruk, and finally, local native leader Larry Merkuliev. The 9th annual gathering of 13 Indigenous grandmothers took place in Anchorage at the Dena'ina Civic and Convention Center, May 18th through May 20th. You can download today's program or subscribe to free podcasts of Addressing Alaskans on our new website, alaskapublic.org. To let us know about an upcoming community event that you would like to hear on Addressing Alaskans, just go to alaskapublic.org and click on Contact Us at the bottom of the page. This has been a production of KSKA Public Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. For KSKA, I'm Kristen Spack. Thanks for listening.